They're calling it the Olympics without the drug testing. A showcase not of what's natural, but what's possible. The enhanced games is what we're talking about, and they've promised to be faster and stronger and higher, even if chemistry is helping you get there. And now an Irish Olympic swimmer, Shane Ryan, has announced that he is going to take part. Behind the project is a really interesting character, Aaron D'Souza, an Australian lawyer and entrepreneur with deep Silicon Valley ties and, let's face it, even deeper pockets, who is insisting that the games represent freedom and innovation and what he calls the next stage of human evolution. But critics, and there are many, including the World Anti-Doping Agency and the IOC, call it reckless, call it unethical, and call it even dangerous. So, is this the future of sport or the end of it? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And today we're talking about a kind of Olympics where almost everyone is going to be on the juice. When Aaron D'Souza first announced plans for these games, most people either shrugged their shoulders or rolled their eyes. Just another tech bro innovation with a pretty low bar. But last week, British Olympic silver medalist swimmer Ben Proud announced he'd be defecting to the competition. And then this week, it came to our very own shores when the Irish Olympian Shane Ryan announced plans to dive into the next chapter, as he put it, with the enhanced games. Today, we're delighted to be joined by sports writer Kieran Cunningham to explore the rise of the enhanced games and the man behind it, and what Shane Ryan's decision tells us about the changing moral landscape of sport. You're so welcome to the podcast, Kieran.
Thanks, Kieran.
So this, to me, is really, really interesting, really fascinating subject, and I'm really looking forward to delving deep into it. But we'll start, I suppose, with the very basics, as we like to do on this podcast, so everybody understands what we're talking about. What are the enhanced games?
Well, the enhanced games is a multi-sport competition where doping is permitted. Well, not just permitted, but encouraged. Under what they say is medical supervision. Now, when it was announced publicly, the same comparison that you made there to the Olympics was made. But we have to point out, this is nowhere near the scale of the Olympics. Like, this is basically, it's going to be sprint events in swimming, in athletics, and then a weightlifting competition. So it's very small scale at the start. And at the moment, like, Shane Ryan has signed up this week. But other than that, on their website, they only have another 10 athletes who have signed up. So it remains to be seen how many have will compete when it takes place next year. Now, there is a fair chance that more will take part because the money on offer is huge. And I will say, to his credit, I think, Shane Ryan has been very public about it. He's engaged with people on Instagram who've challenged him on this move, and he's done a number of interviews. He hasn't taken the money and hidden away. He's explained his reasons, and his reasons will resonate with a lot of people in the Olympic sports. People focus in on the Olympic sports every 4 years and largely forget about them in between. No, they are minority sports. They don't have the clout, say, here in media coverage or sponsorship of the big ones like soccer, GA and rugby. So what a lot of people mightn't realise is the fact that, as Shane Ryan has pointed out, a lot of Olympic athletes effectively are surviving on a minimum wage or not much more than it. Like his current grant, he recently retired as a swimmer. Like, he is going on to the enhanced games, but as a mainstream swimmer, he recently retired to 31, and he was on 18,000 a year. And the biggest grant he ever got from Sport Ireland was 20,000 a year. And people might think, oh, that's just Ireland, you know, that we're not funding athletes properly or whatever. But the UK, our nearest neighbours, their maximum grant is 29,000 sterling a year. Our maximum grant is 40,000 a year, which is actually more than theirs. But it shows you where you're coming from. He hasn't told us what his appearance fee will be, but he has said he will make more in the appearance fee than he made in his entire swimming career up to now. That would indicate a decent six-figure sum.
Yeah, he said, I will be making 3 to 4 times more than I've made my whole time with Ireland in just 9 months. And we have a clip of him on Off the Ball explaining all of that. Let's take a listen.
This is an opportunity where now, you know, I'm making, you know, six figures and I could win up to almost $600,000 by May, you know, and it's like, that's going to set up my life like crazy in the, on a craft that I've honed for, you know, my whole life. Yes, it's very controversial, but at the same time, you know, people's opinions aren't going to pay my bills. People's opinions aren't going to have my food. But at the same time, that's why I retired last week. I've done everything I could for Ireland. And I'm very grateful and very honored that I was able to do that. But now I'm opening up a new book into something different.
And you are right. I mean, he hasn't hidden away from his decision. He has spoken publicly. As you say, he's engaged with people on Instagram. And he has said, look, basically, your opinions aren't going to pay my bills. We heard him saying that there. And there is the potential to earn phenomenal figures if you do well at these games. So let's just go to, I suppose, the money that's on offer to these athletes. What do we know about that?
Each event will have a total prize fund of $500,000. A quarter of $1 million going to the winner. Six figure sums going to the silver and the bronze medalists as well. But there's also $1 million on offer if anybody breaks a world record in the 100 meter sprint on the track or the 50 meter freestyle in the pool. So that's a huge carrot. And to put that in context, if Shane Ryan had won a world medal at the World Swimming Championships, he would have got $20,000. So, there's no comparison in terms of the earning potential. But if you do look at the profile of the athletes, and I use athletes in the broader sense, in the sports people who've signed up, you know, invariably they're around Shane Ryan's age, which is 31. You know, they're coming to the end of their careers. They might think, there's nothing to lose now. I'm not going to be going to the Los Angeles Olympics. My peak has passed in my mainstream sport. This is a chance for one big payday, and I'll go for it. I know it will hurt my reputation and my legacy, but the risk is worth it because it will set up my family. Because you do look at somebody like Shane Ryan at 31, given what he's earned up till now, like he wouldn't have had a chance of getting a mortgage, or, you know, he would have struggled to get a car on the road, I would think, with what he was earning. So, and that has been the case for some of the Olympic athletes I talked to. One of them told me, who'd been to a couple of Olympics with Ireland, that the best thing that could happen to him was a sponsored car, that he was getting taxis and buses everywhere. That's the reality of Olympic sports. And it's something that people behind this, I think, are exploiting, because they're people with question marks over them. You know, some of their behavior and their beliefs. Like one of the main financial backers of this is Peter Thiel, subject of controversy recently because his company Palantir had close ties to Israeli military. And he's also given a series of pseudo scientific lectures recently talking about an imminent apocalypse and having to challenge the Antichrist. And this guy is one of the richest people in the world. He was the main mover behind getting J.D. Vance on the vice president ticket for the U.S. election. And there are these people within Silicon Valley that buy into this libertarian view of the world, which basically means you can do anything. Nobody can tell you what to do. You know, a lot of them are obsessed with extending their lives. Know that to live into 120 or 130 or getting de-aging treatments. They think the technology can create Superman. Like, it's a very strange way of looking at the world. And I think this is the next step for them in going at sport and giving us this strange, bizarre spectacle, which will be a circus, I think.
It is totally privately funded. There's going to be no state subsidies, no IOC involvement. You mentioned Peter Thiel there is one of the main backers. He is a Tex Vengali, co-founder of PayPal, early Facebook investor, a guy with clearly more money sometimes than sense. But behind the entire project is this other very interesting character called Aaron D'Souza, who has a background in law and venture capital. He's Australian born. What else do we know about him?
Well, he describes himself as a lawyer and a philosopher. He's Australia born. He was educated at Oxford. So he's a PhD in legal theory. He's clearly a very intelligent man. He has worked with Peter Thiel in the past. And something that he worked on with him in the past that some of people might be familiar with was the Hulk Hogan privacy case from a few years ago that ended up, they went after Gawker Media over a Hulk Hogan private sex tape, and they won the case and basically bankrupted Gawker Media. But D'Souza worked with Thiel on that lawsuit. He founded Sargon, a pension tax firm, was worth over 50 billion Australian dollars. He sold his stake in 2018, and he's been pushing this thing, what he calls superhumanity, Now, that's the belief that there's nothing unethical about biological enhancement. It is just a natural progression of human evolution. He calls himself now a philosopher athlete. He's actually been quite accessible. He's done a number of interviews, like with outlets even in Ireland, you know, that you wouldn't really bother with. But he has been the public face of the enhanced games, and he is one of the main drivers behind.
He actually spoke to Pat Kenny when these games were announced. Let's listen to what he had to say.
The enhanced games are like Formula One. It's the athlete and the engineer working together in Formula One, or the athlete and the scientist working together. It takes an extraordinary athlete and an extraordinary scientist. You can't have one without the other. And I don't think that undermines the achievement in any way, shape, or form, because, you know, the best content creators, the best writers, the best scientists today are using AI, you know, computer vision, other amazing technologies to improve their craft. Why can't we use similar technologies in sport?
And apart from Aaron D'Souza, who's obviously worth a fortune, and Peter Thiel, there are other kind of interesting backers as well. Who are they?
Well, there's a guy called Christian Angermayer. He's an investor. He stakes in psychedelic medicine and longevity firms. You know, and I mentioned this before, this is one of the obsessions of Silicon Valley, of trying to live longer. And some of them, I think, even are convinced they can live forever. Then there's a guy called Balaji Srinivasan, who's a crypto bro, and there's a few of those around these days. Former CTO of Coinbase. He's linked to what they call exit movements for mainstream institutions, which is a libertarian obsession as well. Also, the investment venture capital firm owned by Donald Trump Jr. has backed this as well. We know who he is.
Speaking of circus, it is a four-day event happening in May next year in a purpose-built arena in the playground of the wealthy, the rich, the famous of the world, Las Vegas. So it is showbiz, isn't it?
There's serious money being thrown out. Like they're estimating $400 million.
Is the budget for the entire games?
Yeah, which is close to $500 million. You know, given there's only a tiny number of events, like it's a huge amount of money. It remains to be seen, will this be broadcast? Like there's talk that maybe Netflix will show it. Now, Rob McElhenney, the actor who also is a filmmaker, makes documentaries. He's going to be making a documentary around the games. And I wonder, in a way, is this a kind of a stunt, a one-off? Like I have a feeling it won't be a regular thing. There's people here behind us and they want to make a point. They want a couple of world records next year and saying this is what human beings can do. But we know what doped up humans can do. We watched Lance Armstrong sprint up the Alps in the Pyrenees. We watched Ben Johnson with his yellow eyeballs sprint faster than anybody has ever come close to before. So we know what that looks like. We don't need to be shown it again. And the biggest issue, Kira, is the health risk. Now, they say that there'll be close medical supervision, but all the medical experts, independent medical experts that have talked about this, say there's huge risks with PED use, which is performance-enhancing drug use, particularly in terms of liver and kidney failure. You know, a lot of people might remember that back in the 90s, a lot of cyclists who were doping died at a very young age. The toll doping can take on the body is immense.
And there is an incentive, as you say, to try and break those world records, to absolutely push your body to the limit because of that 1 million that is up for grabs for world records that are broken. And I should point out, of course, that won't count because it won't be recognised by the IOC. In terms of the mainstream sports bodies and how they've reacted to this, I know Sports Ireland's called it's scientifically naive, ethically regressive, and the World Anti-Doping Agency condemned the project outright as a dangerous fantasy, saying that it normalises drug abuse. What drugs can they take? Are there any limits to what they can put in their system?
The only drugs they can take are, you know, the illegal drugs like the likes of cocaine, heroin, ketamine. You know, they're I don't know if you call them street drugs now, that you would, you know, you would be arrested and you're found with them. But other than that, it's a free-for-all.
Wow, is that? So do you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about this last night and I thought, okay, you're there as a reporter, you're pitch side and or track side and somebody breaks a world record. And the first thing you're going to ask them as a reporter is, what have you taken?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, how did you feel? You know, how did you dig deep? You know, what was going through your mind in that last 20 metres? It's going to be, bring us through the list of what you put in your system.
That's something I haven't considered yet. That is a question that will be asked. And it will be interesting to see how the media covered. Like, will media outlets send reporters to cover this event, or will it be just their own in-house media? Because I think for ethical reasons, I think a fair few media outlets would be reluctant to give it any credence by sending any staff members to it.
I mean, D'Souza has claimed himself that the type of doping that he supports is safe. He says it's safer even than something like alcohol. What do you say to that?
I was actually on a program before with D'Souza, and he made the case that alcohol is far more damaging than PEDs.
Anabolic steroids are far safer than alcohol, tobacco, cannabis, three substances that are allowed in our society. Alcohol, according to the survey, is actually 10 times riskier. And alcohol is the principal sponsor of most sports, at least in Ireland and in the United Kingdom. It poses much more danger to our society. And so I know there are some concerns about a libertarian approach to our society, but you know, if we allow alcohol and we allow people to take risk in that dimension, and we allow alcohol to be a sponsor of sport, why can't we allow a much safer substance that actually improves human performance?
I think that's a kind of a cop-out. You know, it's you have to listen to the likes of, say, Sport Ireland's Dr. Una May, who was the foremost expert on doping in Ireland. Like, she ran the anti-doping program here for many years. And she's called it scientifically naive, ethically regressive, and talked of the serious health dangers. And all the independent doctors have pointed out that this is seriously, that people are putting their long-term health at serious risk. You know, you can't really allow people for, you know, you have 6 months of taking human growth hormone, and we're monitoring this, and it'll have no impact. Doctors don't know that. The independent doctors think it's more than likely that will cause you serious damage. So the doctors on the payroll of the enhanced games are saying it's perfectly safe. So what do you believe? And you have to remember, around doctors, there's so many doping doctors. Like, Lance Armstrong was given the drugs by a doctor. So there's a lot of doctors who have been facilitating doping who haven't lived up to the ethics of their profession. So that's why you would have to question the medical rigor around this competition.
But I have heard some other people argue that there is doping going on all of the time, and it's really about who's best at hiding it. Whereas at least in these games, everybody is out and open about it. That the current field in any sport, be it an indoor, outdoor championship or an Olympics, isn't fair either, because not everybody is competing at the same level. Not everybody is just competing with natural talent, ability, hard work, discipline, etc., etc., etc.
I think this concept, it adds to the view that all athletes are on it. And that's simply not true, and it's a disservice to clean athletes. Like, you will see on social media now, you know, there's people who push this all the time, that anybody who wins a race, or, you know, who does something extraordinary in sport or something that a lot of people are praising, straight away they're going, no, he's doping, I don't believe him. It's so easy to make a blanket condemnation and say everybody is at it. It's not true. There's a lot of athletes, and I mean athletes in the broader sense, that want to win clean, and they don't want to win by cheating. When you take up sport at a very young age, the one thing is hammered into you that cheating is wrong. And people do cheat in all sorts of ways. And they're looked like, you can remember the reaction to Thierry Henry's handball here. No, people get outraged at any
point. Don't trigger me today. I'm in good humor today, Ciarán. Don't bring that man up in my studio.
But the other thing as well is that, like, people love the Olympics.
Because there's such a value in natural talent, isn't there? That's what we love.
But also, part of it is, like, I've been to 5 Olympics. And part of the reason I really love covering it, even though it's a very difficult thing to cover because of its sheer scale, is the great stories that come out of it. And often the best stories are people who don't even get near the podium. They mightn't even get to an Olympic final. And the Olympics has always been about the taking part. It's not just about winning. Like, you will see so many Olympic athletes who have the 5 rings to 2. Like, you will see a lot of the Irish athletes. Like, you will see Charlene Maudsley has it, for example, a load of them. And Charlene Maudsley was no Olympic medal. She'll never win an Olympic medal, but she's an Olympian. And that means a huge amount to be an Olympian. But the enhanced concept prizes winning at all costs and nothing else.
Yeah, it does make me uncomfortable. How does this reflect broader cultural changes, Ciarán, around science and risk and celebrity?
Well, I think we live in an increasingly dystopian world, and so much of, you know, the kind of toxic discourse and the toxicity that has affected sport all over the place, like in all sorts of ways. When you look at the people that are now involved in the bankrolling sport, etc., much of that has come from America, and particularly from Silicon Valley, from people who have far more money than sense and who have very dubious beliefs about the world and what the world should be. And I think it's unhealthy. No, I really hope Shane Ryan is the last Irish, that we don't get any more Irish athletes signing up. But with the money on offer, you just don't know, you know. But it is a depressing turn, and I don't think in any way anybody could argue it's good for sport.
Finally, Kieran, do you think in the long run Shane Ryan's choice will be seen as a smart one, or ultimately something that was kind of reckless?
I think it'll damage his legacy and his reputation. I think what'll help him in a way is the fact that I think he's moving back to America. Like, he's American born. He moved here in 2014. His father's from Leash. But he's going back to America, and doping, there isn't anything like the same stigma about doping in America. Like, some of the most celebrated sports figures in American sport had tested positive, and people brush it off and move on. And even you look at the way Lance Armstrong has been rehabilitated. Like, he's his podcast is hugely successful. A lot of Americans don't simply care.
And also, I suppose they like somebody who comes out maybe and just owns it.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and also because it's a society that's obsessed with winning, and winning at all costs. So ultimately, that might help Shane Ryan in his future career. He'll make a bit of money. He might be able to buy a house now, but I think his reputation in Ireland now is in the gutter.
Kieran Cunningham, thanks so much for your time today and for joining me here on News Talk Daily. That's it from us today. You can listen back to this and every edition of News Talk Daily on the Go Loud player or on Apple or Spotify or wherever it is that you stream your content. Please feel free to give us a like or a comment. We really appreciate your feedback. Until Friday morning, first thing. Goodbye.